Squeezing the bottle over my head, I rubbed the oily liquid into my scalp. "The joy of children," I mumbled to myself as I made sure every strand of my shoulder-length brown hair was coated. I'd just done a respite placement, looking after a 6-year-old boy called Jake for a few days to give his permanent foster carer a break. Jake had gone now, but he'd kindly left me with a few little visitors to remind me of him. Nits. I'd felt the familiar telltale itch earlier that morning, and sure enough, after a few moments of examining my scalp in the bathroom mirror, I'd found the evidence. I'd seen enough nits on children over the years to easily recognise them. So earlier today, I'd rushed out to the chemist and bought a few bottles of expensive nit lotion, and now I was smothering myself in it. Once I'd washed it out, I had my nit comb ready to give myself a thorough comb through. My heart was already sinking at the thought of having to do the same thing on Michael, the wriggly 18-month-old I was fostering. I could barely keep him still long enough to change his nappy, never mind cover his gorgeous curls with nit lotion. He'd been with me for the past 9 months since his mum, Kerry, had had a breakdown. After a spell in a psychiatric hospital, she was now thankfully back at home, and the hope was that eventually Michael would be able to go back and live with her full time. I knew the other occupant of my house wasn't going to be very happy about the nit situation either. Louisa was 20, always immaculately made up and fashionably dressed, so she was going to be mortified at having to douse her glossy dark bob in nit shampoo. She'd lived with me since her parents had been killed in a car crash 8 years ago, and she was like my own daughter. She was out at work, she was a nanny for a local family, so I'd have to break the bad news to her when she got home later. While the lotion did its work, I decided to get on with some chores. I'd only just picked up the iron when my mobile rang. "Maggie," said a familiar voice, "can you talk?" It was my supervising social worker, Becky, from the fostering agency that I worked for. We'd worked together for years now, so we knew each other well, and she'd supported me through so many placements. "Are you in the middle of something?" she asked. "Only my ironing, so I'll gladly be disturbed," I laughed. "What can I do for you?" "I wanted to see if you were available to help with an emergency placement," she said. "It's a 14-year-old girl whose social services have just got an EPO out on in the past hour. They need someone to take her for at least the weekend." An EPO is an emergency protection order designed to protect children whom social services felt were at immediate risk. It was Friday afternoon, but there was always a judge on duty 24 hours a day who could issue one quickly. As was often the case with my placements, I knew I would have to make a quick decision based on little or no information. I was only fostering Michael at the moment, and I had another spare bedroom. "Yes, of course," I told her. "I'd be happy to help out." "I'm afraid I don't know much about what's happening," said Becky. "All I know is that some sort of information has come to light while the girl has been at school today, and social services don't feel it's safe for her to go home this weekend to her parents. She's still at school now, and that's where the social worker wants you to go and collect her from. The social worker is called Rachel Myers, and she'll be able to fill you in on the specifics when you get up there." I grabbed a pen while Becky gave me the name and address of the school. "That's about half an hour's drive from me," I said. "When do they want me to get her?" "Ideally, as soon as possible," said Becky. "Are you okay to go now?" I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror and suddenly remembered the nit lotion. My hair looked like an oil slick. "I can, but I'm afraid I look a bit of a state," I told her. Becky laughed as I explained about the nit lotion. "Can't you quickly wash it out?" she asked. "Becky, this stuff costs £10 a bottle," I said. "It's only been on for 10 minutes and you have to leave it on at least an hour for it to work. I don't want to fork out for another lot." "Oh, Maggie, you do make me chuckle," she laughed. "I'm sure nobody's going to care how you look." I knew she was right, but that didn't stop me from feeling slightly silly as I got into the car with my slicked back greasy hair with its overpowering chemical smell. Michael wasn't due to be dropped off for another couple of hours, so at least it gave me plenty of time to get up to the school and back. As I drove, I thought about what Becky had told me. I had no idea what sort of situation I was about to face, and I was intrigued to know what had happened to this girl. A lot of carers shy away from fostering teens, but I had always enjoyed the challenge and I found them very interesting. It was also helpful having Louisa around when I was fostering a teenage girl, as they tended to look up to her.